السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین، والعاقبۃ للمتقین، والجنۃ للموحدین، ولا عدوان الا على الظالمین. الصلاۃ والسلام على محمد وعلى آله واصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان الى يوم الدین، وبعد. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في محكم التنزيل بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله. With the grace of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given us the opportunity of gathering in one of His homes, which is the Masjid of Allah. The Hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most beloved place to Allah is the Masjid, the most hated place to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the bazaar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected us from a place where there is a lot of fitna, temptation, haram, and granted us the opportunity to sit in the masjid to discuss about religious matters. Respected brothers and elders in Islam, firstly we have to be grateful to Allah for granting us this opportunity. When we take the world in this time, there are certain countries where Muslims don't enjoy the freedom of listening to the speech of Allah, the hadith of the Prophet. There are certain countries where children are not allowed to learn the Quran. Children who are less than 18 or even adults are not allowed to go to the masjid at times. Where Muslims are facing trials and difficulties, in such a time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the freedom to come to His house and sit and listen to a lecture. In Arabic they say, قَدْرُ النِّعْمَةِ بَعْدَ زَوَالِهَا. You value a bounty, a blessing, only after you lose it. The moment we lose a blessing in life, it is only then we value it. At times, lectures of this sort is common in our environment, in our society. We will not value it, but when we meet people who haven't listened, when we meet people who haven't listened to the word of Allah for many years, there are Muslims who live in this time who haven't seen the copy of the Quran in their life, who have lived for more than 50 years. Subhanallah. I'm not talking about decades or centuries ago. This is the current situation of the Muslims in the world. So respected brothers, so we need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity. And number two, when we take the manner in which knowledge was transferred till today, when we take how the manner in which it was transferred, we see it was heart to heart. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received revelation from Jibreel alayhi salam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches this Quran to the Sahaba, they committed to memory, and knowledge used to spread, and it was transferred heart to heart and by memory. So the memory is one of the most important aspects for us to protect the knowledge of Allah and the hadith of the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when we take our situation today, our minds aren't enough to save even a telephone number, in short. Sometimes we don't remember the phone number of our close relative or the one who is living inside our own home. Because our memory has become so weak that we cannot save 9 digits in order. But whereas the Imam, the Sahaba, they were able to memorize thousands of ahadith with ease, without difficulty. So they protected that deen in such a way, and it has come down to us today, and it is in front of us laid, it is served. All that we need to do is make use of it. That's it. We need to make use of it. They sacrificed their lives for this knowledge, and now we see it in front of us in form of an audio clip, in form of a book, in form of a video. We see this in front of us. But the sacrifice behind this whole thing, it refers back to the Imams and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, When we take the state of Islam in today's time, it has reached almost all the doors. It has reached globally. Islam has reached, it has been translated, so many material found online. You could name it, you find it. The access to Islamic material is so much. It is millions or it is unlimited. You want something, you type, you Google it, you find it. That is the access of knowledge today. But the saddest part is, how far do we practice this knowledge? Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't have that sort of access to knowledge. But when it came to their life, they used to practice the little knowledge they had. But today we have enough and more knowledge. But when it comes to our real life, we hardly practice the knowledge we know. So respected brothers, whenever we listen to a lecture, our maqsad, our motive is not to accumulate knowledge, to increase our knowledge. No. There are so many other places we can do that. We can sit at home in our laptop, we can browse the net, we can do it. No. That is not the purpose here. The reason we have come here is to bring a change in our life. It is to bring about a change in life. So, all of us would have seen our posters which are shared. The maqsad, the motive behind us starting this weekly program, inshaAllah ta'ala, is to educate ourselves with regard to the methodology of interacting with others. Generally, we have fixed classes conducted with regard to the sharia, laws related to prayer, with regard to tahara, purification, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to an average Muslim's interaction with others, with other human beings, when it comes to this, we see a great downfall in the Muslim Ummah. So we need to focus on this. That was the purpose behind this whole lecture. So we want to have it weekly, every Monday inshaAllah, after Isha Salat. And there will be different scholars who would come up and give their talk. So as this is the first gathering here, we didn't expect at least this crowd today. But yet, alhamdulillah, we have a certain good number. Because to make history, we need not have a big group of people. One person is enough to make history. The best example is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best example is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was preaching Islam in Medina, when he received revelation, he was the only man, or he was only amongst the few who believed in the monotheism. The ones who believed that God exists, that Allah is one. He was amongst the few. But whereas the rest, they were living in a life following their desires and wishes and whims. But one man was enough to bring a revolution in the world. Likewise, maybe this gathering might look small, few in number, but one person can bring about a vast change in his life and in this world as well. So respected brothers, let us go to the topic. I don't want to take too much time from you. Inshallah, by 9 we'll be finishing. Number one, when you look at interaction from an Islamic perspective, when you look at interaction from an Islamic perspective, we need to understand Islam is a comprehensive religion. Islam is a comprehensive religion. It covers everything which is related to human life. From his birth, from a human being's birth, till he's buried in his grave, Islam has taught him each and everything without missing out on anything. So everything is guided, shown by the Quran and the Hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to understand that Islam is comprehensive and it covers everything. So when we take the teachings of Islam, we could divide this into two parts. Number one, the rights which we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, the rights which we owe to the slaves or the creation. All of us know, when it comes to the rights which we owe to Allah, it is praying our salah, or performing hajj, performing our fasting and during Ramadan. These things would come under the first category. But whereas the second one, when it comes to interacting with the creation, it is not only human. When we take the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it goes beyond humans. In certain ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us the method to behave with jinn. The manner we should observe when it comes to interacting with jinn. What rights do we owe them? And in certain ahadith, he shows us the rights which we owe to animals. It can be a small, it can be a cat, or it can be whatever small animal. Even a killing of a gecko is taught in Islam. What is the art of killing a gecko? This is related in Sahih Ahadith. So respected brothers, there isn't a single thing which has been left in Islam where we can say that Allah and His Rasul didn't guide us on. So it is clear, it's up to us to learn and follow them. But the question is, when we take the two rights, right towards Allah and right towards the slave, we find it very difficult to fulfill the right towards the slave. The reason for this is, respected brothers, when it comes to interacting with a fellow human, he has an ego, he has certain qualities which he will not like. Likewise, when he interacts with us, he too will see certain qualities in us which he will not like to see in us. So when it comes to this relationship, it's very difficult for us to keep it very smooth and with harmony. Whereas when it comes to relationship with Allah, there isn't anybody in front of us. When we pray two rakat of salah, it is only me performing the deed and Allah is watching me, that's it. But when it comes to doing a business transaction, it is two ways. I owe him certain rights and he owes me certain rights. So we find it very difficult to cope when it comes to rights which we owe to the slave. So that is why, when we take a general book of fiqh, where the Islamic jurisprudence is discussed, if we are to divide this book into four, we would see one fourth of this book covers the ibadah section. That is the rights related to Allah. Just one fourth. So it's four volumes. It's just the first volume would be, generally they will be discussing about salah, fasting, zakat and tahara. Nothing else. Whereas the balance three volumes will discuss the rights which we owe to others. Starting from Kitabul Buyur, that is book of transactions, and it ends up, how do we interact with the slave? Subhanallah. From Kitabul Buyur, book of transactions, and then it comes to Kitabul Nikah, then Talaq, then Jinaya. Jinaya is the penalties for crime. So all these things are discussed more compared to the content we find with regard to ibadah. So it's a clear indication that Islam stresses more on interacting with others compared to the rights which we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, so when we take an average person's life, the interaction with human beings is far more greater than the time we spend in ibadah. Let us take an average person. How long do we take to perform salah? Maximum, with the azkar, by completing all that, we would take 15 minutes for each salah. So when we complete 5 times salah, we have approximately spent 75 minutes of that day in the ibadah of Allah. If a person wants to read Quran, alright, we would give him another half an hour's time. Out of 1440 minutes, he has spent only around 100 minutes for the ibadah of Allah. So what happened to the balance 1340 minutes? Where do we spend them? Generally, or most of the time, it is spent with our family, in our workplace, in the bazaar, in our business, in our shop. That is the place where we spend most of the other balance time. Maybe 8 hours at home, and 8 hours at office, and then we divide our night, and most of the time we spend with the human beings or the creations of Allah. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, if a person doesn't know how to interact with others, he will not enjoy life. He's not going to enjoy life. Let me give you an example. Take the example of a teacher. There are two types of teachers. One, he goes to class, the moment his student sees this teacher's face, they feel irritated. They say, why did this teacher come to school today? He has come to ruin the day. We don't want to look at his face and we want him to leave this class as soon as possible. So the students wait for the bell to go. This is the first type, one type of teacher. And the other is a teacher who enters class, and students, they want that teacher to be in their company. Not to waste time, because they enjoy being with him. Because he understands the psychology of that student, and he understands the difficulty the students would face. And so the students start loving him because the way he interacts is so good. Same thing with a father. There are two different types of fathers. When a father enters home, a son closes the door of his room and he is isolated. He doesn't want to come out of his room and he doesn't want to look at his father's face. And whereas the other father, when he comes home, the son, all his children want to sit by them and talk to him and have a good time with him. So what was the difference between the two fathers? Both of them were fathers, but the difference is the art of interaction which both of them followed was different. So we need to bring the correct methodology of interacting so that we can enjoy life, and plus others will enjoy our company with them. Generally, at times our youngsters would say, I don't like to sit with that uncle. I don't like to talk to him. He always wants to cut us down. He wants to put us down. I don't want to sit with him. When we take the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no matter which age they belong to, but all of them like to be with the Prophet, without exception. You will not find a single person who would say, I wish I don't sit with him. Maybe before they accepted Islam, they had that idea, they had that perception, I don't want to see the Prophet. But the moment they accepted Islam, even the bitter enemy of Islam, there were so many, Khalid ibn Walid, he was a bitter enemy of Islam. Abu Sufyan, he led two battles against Islam, Battle of Uhud and Battle of Khandaq. But these people, the moment they accepted Islam, they loved to be in the company of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see young Sahaba who were just 5-6 years old, they too enjoyed his company. So what was the secret behind this? The interaction which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had in his life was such that he was able to interact with people according to their age, plus he was able to convince them. That was the best part in his life. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, when we look at our status today, we see there are degree after degree today. There are so many intellectuals. They have learned. There isn't so many degrees. They have finished so many education and qualifications they have. We see technology progressing. Everything, mashallah, when it comes to the aspects of dunya is improving. But the same human being finds it very difficult to interact with his own son. He finds it very difficult to convince his own spouse. But he's a degree holder. He might be a PhD holder, but he cannot sit with his spouse and make her understand about something else. That is the weakness we have, because we don't know the art of interaction. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, so we need to have our navigations right, so that we don't go to any of the extremes. As I told you, rights could be divided into two. One, right towards Allah, and right towards the slave. Most of the time we focus on one, that is the rights which we owe to Allah. Take an example during Ramadan, masajid are full. People want to pray Salatul Taraweeh, Qiyamul Layl, some people are fasting, the young ones are fasting, because they are focusing more on ibadah. That is very good. But majority of the Muslims have forgotten the other balance part which we need to focus a lot. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, so that is the most important thing. We need to set the balance right between the rights which we owe to Allah and the rights which we owe to His slave. So who is the best person whom we can set as an icon or a role model for us to follow? So all of us know, we would answer without any hesitation, we would say it is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. They were the best example, and they were the best examples in the day of Qiyamah. There isn't anybody who will be perfect than them. But the problem with us respected brothers, the moment we hear the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the names of the great Sahaba, or any Sahaba in fact, the moment we use the word Sahaba, the wrong perception we have regarding these people is, these men were extraordinary human beings. They were not normal like us. They never committed any mistake. They were flawless. And it is difficult for us to imitate them. That is the perception we have. When we talk about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we think maybe he was a man who secluded himself in the masjid. He spent 24 hours inside the masjid. He never joked with anyone. He didn't have light moments in life. That is the perception we have about these men. So at times our youngsters think, when they look at a person, who follows the sunnah or he has a sunnah attire, this person, he will not play with us, he will not interact with us, he is a person, he considers him to be an alien. The children who are just 6-7 years in these times, the moment they see this attire, the sunnah attire, they think, no, this man is an alien, he will not understand what we speak, our jokes will not come right for him. But that is the teaching we have showed them. We have not told it is part of Islam to have light moments in life. There was a Sahabi by the name Nu'ayman radiallahu anhu, who was a companion of Nabi. There are so many light moments which he had with the Prophet, which the A'imma have mentioned. As far as I have read, I have come across more than 3 incidents of his, which really makes us laugh. We might think for a moment, did Sahaba do this? Did they interact in this way? How many of us have come across the jokes which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cracked in his life? He used to joke with his Sahaba. Soon after Fajr Salah, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would sit behind, they would be talking about the days of ignorance, and they would be laughing at each other about whatever, the ignorant practices they used to follow, worshipping idols and all these things. So because they have accepted Islam, they used to think about those days, and they used to laugh at each other. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be completing his morning zikr, and he would turn behind and he would not reprimand them. He would look at them and he would smile. This was the beautiful akhlaq of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So respected brothers, the role model, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, are men whom we all of us can follow. The Sahaba women, they were human beings just like us. There were at times, they came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, I committed this sin, what should I do now? They too sinned. But the difference between their lives and our lives is, respected brothers, they were always connected to Allah, but whereas our connection today is restricted while we are inside the masjid. So firstly, whom are we going to follow? It is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companion. All of us know Michael H. Hart in his famous book. He writes the influential 100 men. He writes Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as number one. He ranked him number one. And thereafter he said, the readers will be amazed. Why did I choose him to be number one? And thereafter he writes, I have not seen a single human being who have mastered secular and spiritual levels in their lives except this man. When we take Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his spiritual life plus his average social life was perfect. He had 9 spouses at one time, but we never come across one single spouse who used to complain about him. Not a single spouse complained about him. Whereas today, a person has only one spouse and we hear so many complaints about this man. So who is a perfect man? It was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whom we call ourselves educated and we have so many degrees. He had 9 and he was able to handle all of them with justice. And none of the wives, none of his children, none of his grandchildren complain about them, about him. But whereas today, we cannot play a simple role as a husband, as a brother, as a sister, we can't do it. The reason is, respected brothers, we don't know the art of interacting with people. For an example, when we take this country, our country, we see all of us speak good about our pious predecessors who came here for trade. We talk about them, we tell, Islam came to Sri Lanka through traders. They were upright, they were just, they never cheat anyone. They were our forefathers. We have that privilege. Their transactions made non-Muslims accept Islam. Their transactions made non-Muslims accept Islam. But respected brothers, in today's time, let us take today, a Muslim is not prepared to transact with another Muslim. Leave alone non-Muslim transacting with us. A Muslim is not prepared to transact with another Muslim. He says, is he a Muslim? Then I will have to think twice. I can't come to a conclusion, give me some time. When we go to we know the capital, when we go to the bazaar, The masajid is so huge, it can accommodate more than 5,000 musallis. For Jummah. But yet, imagine, if there was ijaza, permission in Sharia, for one another to fight inside the masjid. Maybe those masajid where 5,000 can pray, maybe you will have more than 200 cases to solve every salah. Because the moment you give your right salam, you see the person who owes you, and when you give your left salam, you see the person whom you owe to. And you have not yet settled that debt. Checks have returned, and the person praying next to you says, because this is a masjid, I am leaving you alone. But if I meet you outside, let's see what happens. That is the state of our transactions today. That's the reality. Our interaction when it comes to praying is almost, it's going down the line. It's going below the required line. It's not even in the average level. It's very, very low. Very few people are upright when it comes to transactions. Very few. So respected brothers and elders in Islam, so this was a basic general introduction for the programs we wish to have in our future. We have lecturers like Sheikh Murshid who will be part of this program, Sheikh Shafraz. They will have their turns inshallah, and we wish to have our posters posted in the masajid as well, so that we can the information or the program will be the information about this would reach to the masses even better, because this program was shared only on, I think, WhatsApp and the social media. So respected brothers, tell your known people, your friends, share it with them. This will be a big opportunity for you, because we have topics to cover like rights which we owe to our parents, our children, our spouse, our grandchildren. How do we interact with a sinner? How do we interact with a poor person? How do we interact with a handicapped person? How do you interact with a sick man? These things, etiquettes have been taught in Islam. How do we interact with a sinner? It's because most of us think that I am perfect, I am better than the other person. Maybe somebody doesn't come to the masjid, doesn't mean that he's a bad man. Maybe he has some valid reason for him to stay back from coming to the masjid. But in today's time, we think others are sinners and the best person. So how do we interact with a sinner? So respected, but there are so many other topics to be covered in this program. So we wish that this will be taking place every Monday inshallah after Salatul Isha. And before we leave, in our lives we have listened to so many lectures, but most of the time or hardly we see a change which takes place in life. It's rarely we see a change in life. One of the reasons is when a person surrenders to his errors. When a person surrenders to his errors, he says, it's my nature. Maybe a person loses his temper very quickly. He says, I don't care because that is my nature. I can't make it right. The moment a person surrenders for his errors, he will never change in life. He will not be able to reform. First, he needs to accept that he's doing it. And it is a mistake. The moment he accepts it, that it is a mistake, it will open up a door for him to change. But if he says, no, that's my way, that's my nature, I don't care whatever people talk about me, that is who I am. If a person says this, if he has that type of a mindset, he's not going to change in life. So first, we need to understand we all of us error. All of us error. So the first initial change would be the moment we realize that we are doing something wrong. That is number one. And in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change the condition of a people until they themselves change. So they need to change first. They need to change themselves first. Only then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them to change. So let us talk to our little ones at home. Sometimes they would say, I can't do it. They would say, no, I don't want to change. I can't change. The next thing what we could say is, why don't you try to bring a change? They say can't, we use the word try. Because nobody will say I can't try. Because the moment he says I can't try, he's obviously demotivating himself and he doesn't want to put himself down. So he says, try doing it, inshallah, the doors will open up. So till we meet next week, inshallah, we are planning to discuss about the rights which we owe to our relatives. So we pass this message on to the others as well. Inshallah, posters will be shared by tomorrow, and in masajid also we are planning to put up the posters. And till we meet next week, let us have a small action plan. Number one, let us take down the roles which we play in life. Let us take down the roles we play in life. Maybe some of us will have more than 20. Some of us will have a few roles. Let us sit, take some time in seclusion, start writing all the roles we have in life. Maybe I am a son, I am a brother, I am a father, I am a husband, I am a wife. You know, take down all that and just take a note. How do I perform these roles in my life? Or do I perform them as required, or do I need improvement? Do I need improvement? You will be your personal judge when it comes to you, when it comes to scrutinizing yourself, when you go and do this checkup. A sheikh need not come and give you a lecture and make you understand. That would be the beginning stage where you realize, okay, I am a son, I am a brother, but I don't fulfill the rights as a brother. I am a son, my parents are sad, I don't interact with them properly. So I need to make things right. So number one, take a list of those roles which we play in life. And number two, whatever responsibility which has been given to us in life, do fulfill those responsibilities with that feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me about this on the day of Qiyamah. Fulfill your duty with duty. Fulfill your duties with beauty. These two points, inshallah, if we can practice it at least for this week. Maybe when I'm working at office, do I fulfill the rights there? Do I give my the allocated time there? Do I pay my full rights there? When I get back home, do I spend time with my family? Let us make this self-scan, this check-up during this week. And when we come next week, inshallah, the topic which is going to be discussed will be very, very helpful. Because the roles which we take down, we'll be prioritizing the ones which are directly involved with our family members. So the next week topic will be on that. Inshallah, you will learn and you will know the importance from an Islamic perspective on the importance of maintaining family ties. So jazakumullahu khairan for attending this lecture. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this gathering and take this strength after strength. So wa akhir da'waya anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.